This is the Blatcast. Welcome to our Major League Baseball preview, taking a look at all the teams vying for the World Series, but mostly a way for beaten-down Mets fans to manage expectations and prepare for disappointment. Christian Blatt is joined by Solomon himself, comedian David Weiss, writer, comedian, and musician David Brody, generator of new content every day, Flobo Boyce, and author Devin Gordon. So break out your peanuts and Cracker Jacks, crack open an old style, and get ready for a ceremonial first pitch from Christian Blatt.
Thank you so much to the great, great Farad Muhammad. Always appreciate you welcoming everyone to the show. And we've got the pomp and circumstance of opening day, even though it's not quite opening day yet. But before we know it, it'll be here. I guess technically there already was an opening day. There were two opening days. But we'll touch on all that as we had from our friend there, the great Farad Muhammad, introducing us. We do have David Weiss, Devin Gordon, Flobo Boyce, and David Brody, our regular panel here. And I'm going to dive right in. David, Salman, I got, for the sake of this, you're both named David. So Sal, that's David Weiss. How are you feeling about the Mets season? We'll talk about the whole league and everything, but starting right off, because we're all Mets fans, how are you feeling about 2024, sir?
First, what's up, America?
Thanks for getting the catchphrase in. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, with the signing of J.D. Martinez, a semi-solid pitching staff, I'm thinking 86 and 70... Six.
Okay, we're going with numerology already. All right.
Yeah.
Do you think that that seems to me like you don't even think like a wild card is in reach this year? 86 wins doesn't really quite do it.
I don't think so. I think they're going to compete, but I think come August, there may be a June swoon in August. So
so a belated June swoon, as it were. Okay, that's fair. Flobo, you usually try to be so positive. I got to go right to you after Sal, because we try to offset. But are you feeling optimistic? you're just loving life. You're loving making new content every day.
I do. I was doing pretty well, but I feel even better because Mr. Brody, I heard a rumor, sir, that you were responsible for writing the Ja Rule duets from back in the day. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that was me.
Oh, my God. This guy's with the culture, man. I love it. I'm so excited.
Part of the culture. Listen, I've written a lot of stuff that the culture has no idea this Jew from New York wrote.
Bada boom. I love it. Okay. So actually, I agree with Mr. Weiss, with Sal, because I have the Mets projected at 85.5 games. You're probably saying, are you off your rocker? And the answer is yes. But we will say we had the worst ERA in the first two innings. And, well, Verlander and Scherzer are no longer on the team. So if you get that down to, like, zero or being down by two or less, we might actually win something. So, yes, I'm going for it.
You're going for what exactly? So
I am betting on the weak NL Central Division to make sure that we have a third NL East contender in the wild card.
Wow.
And that could be New York.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Brody, you're of all of us, you're the one that still actually lives in the New York metro area. So how does New Jersey feel about the Mets season?
Well, the vibe on the street is not a good vibe. So I don't listen to the vibe on the street, even
that's
though
good.
As Flobo pointed out, I am a man of the street.
True. Confirmed.
So I'm feeling 86 to 88 wins based on the JD signing. I'll tell you right now, though, my problem is, as the other Dave mentioned, the June swoon. I don't think this is the year for the Mets to trade prospects at the trade deadline to go for it.
Which prospects? There aren't any.
Well, we have a nice farm system now. But
Yeah.
I don't know which. No, Gilbert may be up this year. Jet Williams may be up this year.
Clifford,
Vientos is back in the minors. He counts as a prospect. So I don't see them moving, let's say, Mark Vientos for a bat or a pitcher at the deadline, because I don't think they're going for it full bore because they're saving their bullets for 25. So I feel like if they had a real shot at the World Series, they would make a move at the deadline. I think they might tweak around the edges to make the wild card, but they're not going to bring in the next Cespedes at the trade deadline because that's not the mindset. So that's the only fear I have is that they're going to go for it, but not really go for it. And so I picture a good season, wild card first round. I'd be happy. Bring up the young kids in August. Let's see what they got. I'm optimistic about the feeling of the season, but they're not going to win the World Series.
I agree with sort of the big picture of what you're saying, but I think that they're not just saving bullets for 25. I think they're saving all the artillery, the entire armory, all the weaponry is for the future. Yes. And I now bring in the esteemed author, Mr. Devin Gordon.
I still love that picture. I love it.
So many ways to lose.
The best.
We love sharing the picture every year. And as Mets fans, we can all agree with the amazing true story of the New York Mets, the best, worst team in sports. Devin, you and I traded messages during the week. And right after the JD signing, it seemed, you know, at least there was something, you know, because before that, it was like, what are we doing here? So where are you at right now, Devin?
Isn't it amazing how the last guy in the door can change your vibe about a whole season and make a lineup different in the opposite way that losing Edwin Diaz at the beginning of last season just, you know, sort of foreboded doom that came about.
Cards in a bad
way. I am in agreement with this panel on the win total. I was thinking about 85, 86. So let me just back a little bit and try to put that into context because I think it's revealing as a definitional sense of Mets fans, that we are all fired up for 85 wins. We are like, sign us up. We're going to play meaningful baseball in late August. Let's go. What better statement is there for Mets fans that we can get really excited about this, even though we are expecting to top out at slightly north of mediocrity.
Can I say the Diamondbacks won 84 games last season?
Yes. Just putting it out there. I ordered my Diamondbacks did it bumper sticker.
That's a great point. And I think that obviously we've sort of touched on the fact that the NL East has the two behemoths in it again this year in the Phillies and the Braves. I feel like the Braves pitching is a little more thin than it has been in recent years. And I think that Philly might not just turn it on just in time for the postseason. They might actually be good all year, but I'm always wrong about everything. So I think that the only thing the Mets could be circling is like, I think
Trouble,
you referenced the NL. Well, no, you're talking about the NL Central. And it's like, okay, can we be better than the Brewers? Can we be better than the Cubs, you know, and all those sorts of things along the way and, you know, trying to figure out that aspect of it. So, Devin, as someone who doesn't only follow the team, but actually took the time to write a book about all the different missteps, this isn't the worst that we can feel on opening day. I mean, it's just the worst I've felt in a while. Last year, I was trying to compensate for losing Diaz emotionally. I mean, and I was like, oh, but we still got Verlander and Scherzer's, you know, it didn't last long. This year, I'm like, oh, the lineup is actually good, but who's pitching? Quintana's pitching open it? Okay. So that's, to me, that's the weak part is the starting pitching, which didn't feel that way in recent years. But what do you think, Devin?
If I'm being honest, I'm not certain I could name the rotation right now off the top of my head. It starts to get a little fuzzy for me around four. I think McGill is in there.
Yeah. He's five. He's five.
Omar Minaya.
It's Quintana, Seve, Minaya, and then Hauser, McGill.
So, yeah. So no Joey Lucchese? Come on.
No, Lucchese got option last week.
That seems like bad news to all the
players. It's not like I'm not following the team. So the fact that, you know, I'm spacing out on Hauser. I was like, who? That's not a great sign. It sort of belies our optimism that the thing that we know about baseball is that the strength of your starting rotation is usually very closely connected to your fate. And yet here we are optimistic, even though so many things have to go right with our starting rotation in order for us to sniff 85 wins. I think part of that optimism is coming from if you move beyond the starting rotation, right, which is, you know, a big thing. Yeah. It seems like the whole staff is just better built and deeper. Thank you, David Stearns, who we assume has done a good job, even though we don't totally know yet. Right. And I think back to last April and May, where the loss of Diaz on the one end and Verlander and Scherzer on the front end, we were throwing what I would charitably be calling non-major league caliber pitchers.
Quadruple A.
Pretty much every fifth and sixth inning in every game. It was it was a disaster. And I don't think that's going to happen this year. Please knock wood. I think we underrate the value of league above average pitchers throwing all nine innings. It seems like a basic thing, but we didn't have it last year. Nope. And I remember so many games last year in those first 2 or 3 months of the season where by the sixth inning, it was over. Yeah, it was over.
We were getting hammered in the middle innings. The
middle innings were a nightmare. And so I think if there's health in the starting rotation and the bullpen, which actually does look to be a strength, although we'll see, if those two things come to pass, then I really like the defense this year, especially up the middle. And I like the lineup. I'm, again, amazed at how much the acquisition of J.D. Martinez just makes the whole lineup look different. I was listening to a podcast yesterday where someone was trying to compare our lineup favorably or at least equivalently to the Philadelphia Phillies, and I think that that's a little nuts. But
that's crazy talk.
That was crazy talk. But I do think it's a good lineup. And I'm a little concerned about how much we're relying on Starling Marte and Jeff McNeil having bounced back seasons. But I feel like there's a more balanced team 1 through 25 than there was last year. And that should make a real difference.
You know, Marte and McNeil only have to have average seasons. I mean, they underperformed by a lot less.
By a lot. Yeah.
And hey, Flobo. Flobo, is Starling Marte still your guy, or have you kind of moved away from him a little bit?
I don't think his All-Star days are going to happen again, but he's my guy. Yeah. I really felt like this is going to be a bounce-back season, and McNeil deserves it more because I felt like his regression went under the rug, but Marte, man, woohoo, Marte.
So for casual baseball fans or just fans of other teams, you basically, in a nutshell, are understanding what it means to be Mets fans. We're considering ourselves optimistic that we might win 86 games, that we might get the third wild card option. We're hoping that we can finish third in our division. Do you guys agree with me that the Phillies could very well be better than the Braves during the regular season this year? Or does anybody see the Braves winning? Because we're keeping the structure of our show, although we're going to move on to another division in a second. But does anybody feel the Braves are the ones to win the NL East?
Yes. I do.
Okay.
I do, but I don't think it's unimaginable that they.
If I had said at the beginning of last season, like, oh, the Phillies were so good in the playoffs, they're going to beat the Braves. I think last year it was definitely more of a pipe dream. But what were you going to say, Salmon?
Matt Olson has to have another spectacular year.
Yeah.
He really, not like
2 years ago. 2 years ago, he had a dreadful year. And right. Yeah. So that's a great point.
If he goes 50 bombs again, you know, I think the Braves take that division. If he hits 30, which is a great year, I think the Phillies might sneak up on them.
Right.
Yeah.
I got Philly win the division personally. I do have that because of the opposite reasons of Marte and Jeff McNeil. Like, the Braves have been good. They've been great. That's kind of an understatement. But that pace is almost unsustainable. And Arcia and Olsen and Acuna Jr. are going to be at that pace and level. I think they win series because, you know, Snitker is one of the best baseball minds, especially in this part of the country. But I really think that a stronger team is going to be in Philly. And we see that, too, with the runner-ups the last couple of years of World Series. These constructed, grittier teams tend to win the day.
David Brody, I want to...
One more Braves point. If Max Fried stays healthy, that's a big deal.
That's a big if. Brody, I want to give you the final thought because you also thought that the Braves, you see them as your favorite for the NL East.
I don't see them as a runaway team. I see them winning the division by a few games.
Okay.
I just think the lineup, I mean, who do you pitch to? You know, the rotation is not what it used to be. I think Philly's lineup benefits tremendously from that ballpark. And I've yet to see them do that over the whole season. I think they're a fantastic second half team. If the pitching stays healthy, it's going to be a good race for the two of them. I still can't. Olsen and Acuna and the rest of that lineup to me are just beyond anything else baseball other than the Dodgers has to offer. So I'm going with the Braves, but not by much.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Dodgers, who, again, I regardless of what we're about to talk about, I still see as the it's hard to compare other teams in the National League to them. You know, we did touch on it. There's some issues going on in Chavez Ravine, and I want to take a minute. I know we've only got about 10 more minutes with you, Devin, but I want to get your thoughts. I want to bring everybody up to speed on what's going on now. As we're recording this on Monday the 25th, Ohtani is supposed to address all this later. So as always with this show, it'll be outdated by the time the audio version's posted, but just in a different way. But let's get a little background on this story, thanks to our friends at KTLA.
Ipe Mizuhara has been at the side of Shohei Ohtani for more than 6 years, interpreting for the superstar, but also a close personal friend of Ohtani's. Today, the Dodgers fired Mizuhara because of his alleged involvement in illegal gambling.
If he breached the trust of the Dodgers and Mr. Ohtani, once the trust is gone, they can no longer keep him as an employee.
Mizuhara reportedly ran up over $4.5 million of debt with an Orange County bookie, betting on soccer and other sports, he says, but not baseball. Turns out that bookmaker is the target of a federal investigation, and ESPN is reporting that money transferred from Ohtani's own bank account was used to cover the bets. The 39-year-old Mizuhara initially telling ESPN that his friend was simply helping him out. But today, Ohtani's attorneys released a statement saying, in part, "We discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to authorities." So the question is, did Ohtani know anything about the gambling?
And that really is the question there. And Devin, I want to start with you because of your limited time. What do you think about this story and, you know, the obvious distraction that it provides and how this didn't happen to the Mets, signing a huge blockbuster, you know, superstar player and then, you know, a gambling controversy immediately swirls around them?
It sure seems like what the interpreter, who granted has since then, we've learned about some more dishonesties that he may have going on. I don't know why some idiot would claim to work for the Red Sox when you didn't. That seems like a very easy thing to verify and double check. But I kind of believe
Congress.
The original story. And, it sort of seems like Ohtani was trying to help out a friend. Mm-hmm. And then when they realized that helping out the friend in this way may have put him in legal jeopardy and wasn't just helping out a friend, they did a very, very fast 180, drove the bus back and forth over him and suddenly said that he was the victim of theft, which doesn't really make sense to me. Ohtani has, in addition to presumably controlling his own bank account, he has an agent, he has a business manager, he has a financial advisor. How did these people not notice that this money was going out there? And how exactly did the interpreter get it if it wasn't being given to him by Ohtani?
Could it be like Mel Brooks in Spaceballs that his passcode is just 1234 and everybody knows, and, you know, the agent's also stealing money from Ohtani, his wife that he just announced, you know, everyone's taking money from him, but he has so much he hasn't noticed yet.
Then he's got bigger problems than the interpreter, what it sounds like. But, you know, in this particular case, it sounds like the original story was at the very least much closer to the truth than what Ohtani's team is claiming now. Because I think, you know, I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but it sounds to me like if this money came from his account, he's in legal jeopardy, right? I mean, I can't imagine it would be otherwise, right? He's the one who gave the money to the bookie. So it seems pretty logical that they're suddenly saying, no, he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know anything about this. I do think it's interesting that no one seems to think that he has a gambling problem or has done any gambling himself, which maybe puts him out of the crosshairs of Major League Baseball.
That remains to be seen.
But, you know, I think this is going to be a problem all year. I mean, especially if there's legal repercussions for this, whether he was hoodwinked or not.
Well, based on the story we just heard, I want to turn to Mr. Weiss. What kind of degenerate bets on soccer? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's easy money, man.
The over-under is one goal every time.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that it could be a distraction. I still think, you know, unless there's actual, wrongdoing in the legal sense from Otani, I think he's going to still be in the lineup almost every day. Yeah. And I think they're going to get, you know, it's very obvious prediction that they'll get tremendous production from him. He's just DHing. He can't pitch. He's not going to play the field. He's going to really focus on that one aspect of his game. And I think that offensively, this might be the best year that he's had as long as he's able to play for the year. But also, when you look at the Dodgers, and I'll ask the other guys about this story after we let Devin go. But as you look at the Dodgers, it's like, okay, yeah, but if you take him out of the lineup, where's the weak spot? You know, it's like, you know, Gavin Lux hitting ninth is like, okay, I mean, you don't want to walk him though, you know, so you gotta throw to him. So, and you know, look, it's such a small sample size, the two games in Korea. And that was at 3 a.m. L.A. time, and I was having a bout of having a lot of trouble sleeping. So I put those games on, fell right back to sleep, but I caught about three innings each time. And my takeaway is, oh boy, the Padres are going to give up a lot of runs, and sometimes they'll be able to score a lot too. But I don't know if they can outscore their bullpen. That was sort of my takeaway. And I mean, the Dodgers, I'm like, okay, they just look the same as they do every year. My questions are, of course, so who's actually pitching for that team? You know,
Yu Darvish. That's
no,
it.
Well, yeah.
And it's Mueller's back at some point, right?
Yeah. But it's also like, it's not a formidable staff, you know? It was the Yamamoto, the Japanese pitcher, you know, I mean, yes, he had one start, but you know, it's like, okay, I feel like there'll be adjustment the way there was with Senga for the Mets last year. And I think he'll be solid, but you know, but there's just so little competition in that division, Devin. I mean, how much of a problem is, like, worst case scenario, you know, Otani doesn't get to play this year, you know, after a certain point, I still would be hard pressed to find another team to win the NL West, Devin.
I don't know. I mean, I actually think that division could be kind of deep, right? I mean, the Padres theoretically improved themselves enormously with Blake Snell. They have a weirdly top-heavy team, kind of like they did last year. It really falls off a cliff after you get a little deep in their rotation and a little deep in their lineup. I mean, the Diamondbacks went to the World Series last year with a pretty young team, right? So, and the Giants, I don't think that they're going to be a threat in the division, but they also spent pretty wildly and brought in a lot of talent, so I could see them at least giving teams some problems. All that being
Snell,
they brought in Snell.
Yeah, the Giants brought in Snell.
That Snell deal that was, you know, it was definitely, you know, I think people are having had it with Boris a little bit, and his players are definitely suffering because but
no,
it's also like
by the owner.
Did none of the other, you know, 29 teams think like, oh wait, that's what we could get Snell for? Yeah, let's go ahead and offer, like, you know, $5 million more than that. It's you know, he gets to opt out after this year, so yeah, there's no collusion, and that's the final point I'll ask you about before I let you go, Devin. What do you think this says about you know, if you were looking for a new agent, would you sign with Scott Boras, or would you maybe sign with somebody that not every general manager hates?
Well, sure, I would. I mean, his track record is pretty well established. I mean, he didn't have the greatest offseason, I suppose. But, you know, Blake Snell still got, 33 AAV? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good when you consider that his best offer, I believe, from the Yankees would have been 25. Now, it would have been a long-term deal, but that's a big difference. I think maybe for once he misread the market. It seems like a lot of teams are very, very nervous about the lack of these regional sports networks and the way in which that's sort of thrown all the revenue up in the air. So, you know, I think that was the increasing, luxury taxes. It seems like, you know, when you take the Mets basically off the table in terms of spending this offseason, you know, the market definitely contracted. I don't really see much of a case for collusion. Like, these owners want to kill each other. I don't really buy it. You know, like reading the market sounds like a much more logical explanation than massive collusion. And if they colluded, they didn't do a very good job, because a lot of these players still got incredible deals. They just didn't quite get what Boris thought they were going to get.
Well, just the point, because you're a billionaire doesn't mean you're smart anymore.
I guess we could come up with a list of people who might prove that, yes, billionaires aren't necessarily smart. But the point you made about the Padres, I think the subtraction of Juan Soto actually makes them a much better team. And I think that short porch at Yankee Stadium is going to help Juan Soto. I think everybody wins there. So the final thing I need to ask you about, Devin, is something that Flobo shared with us. The Mets will have a rainbow cookie egg roll as a new food item at City Field this season. It contains rainbow cookie, raspberry jam, and chocolate syrup rolled in an egg roll wrapper. If we all got to go to a game, would you enjoy this with us, Devin? Would you be like, yeah, let's get five rainbow cookie egg rolls?
Flobito is down.
Let's do it.
Of course. I would try anything once. I mean, I'm not expecting to like it, but look at that thing. It's not that big. I'll try it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. $37.
Well, that's probably the most important part.
That's per cookie, right? Yeah.
Look, what are the only things that are open on Christmas Day, right? Bakeries and Chinese restaurants. So why not put them together and have the best thing ever?
Yeah.
Well, Devin, we always appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. And if anyone has enjoyed this Mets talk, whether you're a fan of the team or not, a great read is so many ways to lose. I say that this is also a great read for a Yankee, Phillies, or Braves, anybody who hates the Mets. This will help you feel even better about that.
Yep.
And the amazing true story of the New York Mets, the best worst team in sports. Devin, other than, of course, buying the book, how can people keep in touch with you?
I am on X at Devin Gordon X, although I don't check it anymore because of our friend Elon. And I'm on Instagram at DevinGO913. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys when we are the wild card champions, in about 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, as we gear up for the wild card series, and we're all got renewed optimism, and the big acquisition that the Mets make at the trade deadline. I'm saying all this so I can pull a clip of this for the beginning of that episode.
Catching all your bets
because they're going to exceed all of our expectations and be so much better, but still only the wild card and third place. Devin, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you. It was great to see you guys again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, always good to chat with you.
And, all right, tear it up from here.
Yep, we'll talk to you again in the fall. Great to talk to Devin. So let's work our way backwards. We'll get to the cookie in a little bit, guys. I know. All right, you know what, Flobo? No, let's start with the cookie. I feel like Brody is like, all right, yeah, Cookie Carrasco. I feel like Brody is the one of us who is not interested in trying this. Will you give this a try? You're the one of us most likely to be at Citi Field the most often this year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, this will instantly give me heartburn before even having a bite. Well, but I will say this, the people at Citi Field have won back-to-back best foods in the majors. If it's one time I would try something really odd at a baseball park, get with the people who actually have the awards and actually have the credits to back it up. I probably would need to share it, but I'm definitely going to go for it.
Yeah. But Brody, this is a no from you, dog.
You know what? The lineup of new food that was announced this week is amazing.
Yeah.
As someone from an Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn, love those cookies. As a Jew, love an egg roll. I feel like this is made for me, and yet that's not a chance in hell.
All right.
That's content, though.
As long as they have it in future seasons, I still have yet to go to a Mets game with you, Mr. Brody.
I'll mail you one if you want.
These are on me the next time I actually go to City.
I think they'll be on you after you eat them.
Well, that's very likely. Mr. Weiss, you got no problem with this, right? I mean, we ventured down to Chinatown for dim sum not too long ago.
That's true.
This would have been a great chaser to a restaurant that, yes, really is called One Cock. We'll just move on from there. But that is the name of
just one
tremendous. Just one. Yeah. that you can't have Cullen. Just one cock.
I thought Genghis Cohen was the best Chinese restaurant name in LA.
Genghis Cohen is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But Weiss, you would have that, right? I mean, this looks like a great aperitif.
Let's go.
It's a Monte Cristo. Let's do it.
Right. Let's do it. I don't go to baseball games for baseball. I go for fusion pastries.
Yeah. You go for the moderately tolerable company of myself and some others. So let's circle back on a couple of things we want to talk to Devin on the way out the door. I'll ask you first, Mr. Brody, as the one of us located on the other side of the country. What do you think about this Ohtani story? And in the grand scheme of things, even if it is a problem for the Dodgers, how much of a problem is it really?
Well, first of all, I just love the fact that Major League Baseball is in bed with every gaming site, and you can't watch a baseball show without, Gary Apple on SNY telling you what the over-under is on Nimmo's hits. I think it's incredibly hypocritical. The fact that they're holding the interpreter to this, how can he influence the game? He's the interpreter. I completely don't know why he's under the rules. That being said, you talked about maybe he had Ohtani's PIN code, not PIN number, PIN code. What ATM spits out $4.5 million? Then I started thinking about, well, if I put it in terms of a normal human being, let's say you made $100,000 a year. This would be the equivalent of losing like $2,000. You'd notice $2,000 was missing, right? I feel like with a business manager and an agent and all kinds of representation, somebody would be watching your money. So I don't believe that story for a minute. Why would an interpreter go to a bookie when he could, I don't know what his rules are with the league, right?
In California, phone betting is illegal.
Yeah. Correct. So why not do DraftKings or something more legitimate? Unless you're under the MLB rules, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you can't bet on baseball, but can an interpreter bet on soccer? Here's what I think happened. I think Mr. Ohtani has the Michael Jordan disease, which is competition, and the need for the challenge of winning and losing. Right. And I think he paid his butler, the interpreter, to go place bets for him. Ohtani can't use DraftKings for obvious reasons. They'll know who he is. But some random Japanese guy with a name no one recognizes can go place bets for him. There's no way to steal the money from him if you're an interpreter. You know, it's not like it's his agent who had access to his accounts unless he gives his interpreter, like, I don't know how to spend money because I don't speak English, so you pay the check? No way. Ohtani made these bets. Ohtani's a prick. He's throwing his guy under the bus for $10 million to shut up. This guy's going to take the fall and make more money taking the fall than he ever would have as an interpreter.
And go ahead. Well, I was just going to say the interpreter clearly knows the Japanese and I took that personally.
Yeah,
you finish your thought.
It's one thing to suspend a retired manager from baseball for life in Pete Rose. It's one thing to kick off, what was our relief pitcher? Mejia, kick him out of baseball for steroids.
Sure.
That's no brainer, right?
Yeah.
They can find Ohtani guilty of throwing a game. They cannot kick him out of baseball. He is baseball.
Yep.
He's an international global phenomenon. They will find facts to back up any story that makes him innocent. And if the interpreter has to go down and MLB has to pay him money to shut up, there's no way Ohtani is found guilty here. They can't find him guilty, if he's guilty.
You can definitely buy his silence. I agree. And I think that it'll be interesting to see what that statement is later today, how believable it is. I don't know who's going to translate it for him. That's going to be a little bit of a problem.
They're using Yamamoto's translator, but does the bookie who's under investigation, does he cut a deal with the feds and say, I know for a fact that these bets were coming from.
Of course.
Yeah. So I don't know how Ohtani escapes this other than Major League Baseball has to protect him.
Look, we'll know there's foul play when Ohtani ends up leaving baseball behind so he can play basketball in the D League this fall, just to extend the Michael Jordan metaphor and the conspiracy theory around there.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say, Mr.
That was a deep cut, Christian. I appreciate that.
Who ends up dead first, though, the bookie or the translator?
I was going to say that if Brody is correct and this is a grand conspiracy, the lawyers are in a room right now negotiating some kind of penalty, be it half a season suspension. I mean, if he's guilty, it can't be swept under the rug, but he could get a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But at the end of the day, I still see the Dodgers, sort of coasting through the later part of the season. And even if they don't, apparently they will never ever fire Dave Roberts. I mean, enough already. Like, how many bad decisions does this guy have to make in the postseason for you to realize, like, oh yeah, maybe just try someone else? There's improvement over Don Mattingly, I'm going to give you that, but it's enough with this guy. It's just like, how many times are you going to let him, like, oh yeah, but of course we'll bring him back.
You know? DraftKings has the over under at +500 on him being fired. So,
another 10. Yeah. Oh, and to your point about the betting, I mean, the outlet who has the exclusive rights to Sunday night baseball games in prime time has their own betting, ESPN Bet or Bet ESPN, whatever it's called. Yeah. So it's like, who thought this might happen a little bit? You know, it's like, DUI for weed is way up, but drinking's down. So I guess there's that.
It's not like they're going to move a baseball team to Vegas, because that would be a problem, but that won't happen. So.
No,
well, I mean, never. If you look, you should, you could move the Oakland A's to the planet, the face of the sun, basically. And, it would be a better choice than playing where they have been playing.
Well, they have the egg rolls. The question I have, because if so, I would buy tickets.
But yeah, that's actually a really important question. Flobo, your thoughts on the Dodgers, Ohtani, and all this mess.
Well, like Broly was saying, I don't understand why you wouldn't go to Nevada where you can make those bets. Now, I understand as a baseball player, even if you give a friend money to do it, you're still held in breach of contract, so I get the shadow of nature of it all. But California doesn't support bookies. That's a federal investigation. You got to find a way to cut bait the way they did. No one looks good about this. And you're right. If you tried to ban Ohtani from baseball at, what is he, 27, 28?
He's 30.
He's 30. That's still like another 10 years elsewhere. Any other league will pick him up. This is like a Trevor Bauer situation. So it's kind of like a lose-lose for the MLB. They have to do something about it, but that opens up the door for whataboutisms. What about Pete Rose? Okay, what about if the Gardner comes and bets? Like, what's the deal is? And that's unfortunate for the game, but it's going to happen. You can't shut Ohtani down. I want to see how they get out of this one. I'm watching it like a soap opera. How are they going to write this guy off? But someone's take the fall.
In the first The first time Ohtani strikes out with men on base, is he throwing the game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I guess he has to make sure that that doesn't happen. he doesn't strike out with men on base ever. So, Flobo, we know that in the playoffs you were all in on your Snakes, who made it to the World Series. How do you feel about the D-backs in the preseason? Do you feel like they're like, well, they're better than the Giants and the Rockies? Or are you like, let's see what the Snakes do?
They are better than the Rockies. I'm not sure about the Giants. I think the Giants would just strong arm that division while they're picked up pieces. And, Evan Longoria is still a free agent, so maybe the magic was with him. But I don't quite see the Diamondbacks going that sort of run. I think there's only one team a season that gets that Cinderella kind of jive where they have like a low number of games and they get hot at the right time. You could ask me who I think is going to be this year a little bit later, but I don't think it's going to be the Snakes.
Well, why don't I ask you right now? Who do you think
is that? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. Your pennant winner in the American League is the Kansas City Royals.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
ballsy. Wow. I was thinking Tigers when you said the Central.
Yeah. I'm watching the Tigers because my boy, you're at Mark Hanna, but I'm going to say the Royals. It's the way they got Seth Lugo back in the rotation as a top, and they extended Bobby Witt Jr. It's kind of that blueprint. It's a 2022 Phillies, a 23 Diamondbacks. I'm thinking they're going to the World Series.
Oh, well, that's not something I ever want to see again, the Royals in the World Series. But I know what you're saying. It's a beautiful ballpark, Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. As long as you love fountains, it's great. Before we move on to the yawn NL Central, what do you feel, Mr. Weiss, about other NL West teams? We've touched on Dodgers, Padres, Giants, D-backs. Nobody's really talking about the Rockies, but
Rockies are nothing, but it'll be the Dodgers until somebody, you can't lose with Betts, Freeman, and Ohtani. They may not win the World Series, but they'll walk away with the division easy.
It's hard to imagine getting, you know, three outs in a row with that lineup. And obviously yeah. it'll happen. It happened in Korea, but it is a little tough to imagine. Mr. Brody, you have any thoughts about some of these other NL West teams?
Boy, I'll tell you about the Giants. I think JD Martinez put a knife in the dagger of them signing free agent hitters. A knife in the dagger, knife in the heart. Yeah. When you have a guy who won't sign with your ball club because the ballpark could affect their stats, that's eye-opening to me that somebody announced that and admitted it.
Yeah, you know? that is what happens when you build a ballpark 25 years ago for one guy who was also cheating. So, yeah. You know, I think that the new Yankee Stadium has the right idea. You know, somebody was watching the Little League World Series and was like, oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's put the wall there. Can we do that? And, yeah, I mean, God, San Francisco, I was just up there. It's a wonderful city. It's a beautiful ballpark. You can't even buy a bottle of water for under $20. But other than that, it's a great place to watch a game on television. You know, you got to sit out in the sun. Weiss and I have been there in the outfield when the seagulls start to circle and swoop down and grab French fries after about the seventh inning stretch.
Absolutely.
So it's a great park to visit. Much like some of the teams that they've fielded in the past, it's a little overrated. I much prefer Petco Park in San Diego to Oracle Park, as it's called now.
Ooh, hot take.
Yeah. But my favorite overall is still PNC Park in Pittsburgh, which is
the best view from any seat. Any stadium, it's the best view.
Haven't been. I got to add to my list.
Me neither.
Oh my gosh. Like, guys, let's get in the car now. Brody, you'll be there first. But
I'll tell you, one of the four of us was at the first game ever played in that stadium. That would be me.
Really?
Was that that was a Mets exhibition game, wasn't it?
Mets exhibition game the day before opening day in 2001.
Yeah.
And, I used some connections with the Mets to get tickets. We drove to Pittsburgh, which is the worst drive ever from New Jersey.
It's not great. It's not great.
No.
Not great. And that and the neighborhood hadn't even been built up yet. There was nothing there except the bridge and the stadium. But a beautiful ballpark, really just incredible.
That neighborhood and the fact that they, on the weekends, they close the bridge so people can just walk across.
Fantastic.
Is everything you want on a game day experience and everything that we still don't have in Citi Field. We still have a great view. We still have a great view of the chop shops in the outfield.
Well, you know what, there's not that many chop shops left. There's like they chop the chop shops. There's only a little strip of chop shops left. And, you know, not that we're on the same topic as Ohtani, but they want to put a casino there so the players can just go right across the street and gamble. Yeah. That'll be great.
The way it should be done. Yeah.
Right. Don't make them walk too far.
If only they had done that last year, if there was a casino in the outfield, maybe Ohtani would have signed with the Mets.
One of my favorite movies, by the way, from the Disney Channel, Casinos in the Outfield. That's
it could happen.
All-time classic. As far as the NL West, I think it's the Dodgers and the Padres, and I'm going to lean Dodgers, but only because I don't know what Yamamoto's going to do, and I don't know if Ohtani gets suspended.
Yeah, I think Padres are a solid team. Padres, it's more of like, what have you done for me lately? They keep getting close. They field a good team, and you know they don't have to play the Dodgers 19 times anymore, which I think helps. But I still feel like the Dodgers far and away for that division. So you hear that, Daniel Beck, who is a huge Dodgers fan and always watches our show from Japan after the fact. We're all saying the Dodgers are going to win the division, and you can't even get too upset that I feel like it's time to move on from Dave Roberts. But we'll be interested in seeing how all this goes. We talked about the Pirates. I don't see them being a sleeper team from the NL Central, but I do suspect that they could actually, you know, field a watchable team. You know, that's a different low standard than we have as Mets. But the fact that a Pirates game might be watchable with a young lineup. I'll ask each of you before I weigh in. Flobo, who do you like out of the NL Central? You know, we got for our audience, I'll go down Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, Pirates, Reds. Two of those I probably don't need to mention, but what are your thoughts for the NL Central?
So as funny as you mentioned that about the watchable team, I think those Reds Pirates games would be the most fun to watch. I think there's a lot of young talent out there, and it might be like almost this side of a Savannah Bananas game. But I have the Cubs here, which is kind of a safe choice. I think Craig Counsell has a lot of working parts, and Swanson and Bellinger's the way up. Even though it won't be pretty, it won't be the most exciting division outside the two teams I mentioned. The Cubs win this one for sure. Milwaukee will have a tough time, though. I think they're heading backwards, and I think that may be a big crash landing for them.
Yeah, I think Bernie Brewer might as well camp out at the top of the slide. I don't think he's going to be going down the slide nearly as much.
That's dark.
Ever since they made it so that the slide doesn't go into a mug of beer, what's the point of even going down?
And didn't they lose the bratwurst to free agency in the race?
That's a hit.
Nobody's mentioning.
Yeah, they made sure to keep Chorizo, though. Because,
Chorizo, of course. You know why they re-signed Chorizo. Yeah. I'm not going
to. Oh, we know.
You know.
Who picked up bratwurst?
what do you think, Mr. Brody, about these teams in the NL Central?
I agree that Cincinnati is going to be the most fun team to watch. They have two or three of the most exciting players on the up-and-coming. They don't have enough to win a division. I don't think they can make the playoffs, but, boy, they've got some talent. Edwin Diaz's brother, tremendous. So I think it's got to be the Cubs. I think the Brewers are selling off pitching, and there's nobody else in that division. The Cardinals are not going from last to first.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be the Cubs. I think thank God they re-signed
Bellinger.
Yeah. Hopefully he has a 2023 year, not a 2022, 2021 year. But I see the Cubs as and Pete Crow Armstrong, if he develops as much as it kills me as a Mets fan,
But that trade was worth it for the Mets.
Oh, yeah. And the Tigers are reaping the rewards of that as well with a guy whose career is over. Javi Baez can't even hit anymore. So, yeah,
he couldn't even hit back then. But yeah,
he could avoid a tag. That's really,
Well, Mr. Weiss, when we talk about the city of big shoulders, when we talk about the second city, we talk about a very important phrase, living large.
Living
large in the Windy City. I do feel like the Cubs are the favorite out of there. Do you have a sleeper pick from the NL Central?
I do not. I favor the Cubbies as well, but I feel it's going to be one of those divisions where a team that finishes 500 could win that division. They all suck.
Yeah. I mean, look, that
they
all suck. Even the Cubbies, suck. Huh?
Hey, stop with the sabermetrics terminology, Dave. Please.
Let's face it. Strowman.
All right, Professor Calculator. We get it. We get what you're saying.
Let's talk about ex-Woba now.
I'm all about nuance.
Exactly.
I see the gray.
But I feel like that's sort of where we're at. I again, we're in agreement. We're really agreeing on all of these National League divisions, which I think is fun. Maybe we'll have a bare knuckle street fight over something in the American League, but the fact that we're all basically saying this is the surprising thing. Wow. The fact that we're all just feeling, we're feeling good about the Cubbies. Hi!
Hey, everybody.
Production.
That's right. I love it. I have enough time to play a little Go Cubs Go. You got it. I love the images that go with this song.
Somebody used Windows Movie Maker.
Really? Maybe. That's right.
Ugh. I was in Wrigley when I first heard
Field,
this.
By the way.
Say that again?
They just showed Soldier Field instead of Wrigley.
Chicago, that's fine.
Yeah.
They should also show Portillo's and, of course, Gene and Giorgetti's with the garbage salad.
Garbage salad, living
you got to get the garbage salad and an old style to go. Whenever I hear that song, it makes me prouder of Let's Go Mets. I thought it would be a fun thing to share. So, all right, we've picked our division winners. We'll go through the AL and then we'll kind of do a quick sort of look at what the postseason could look like, because we're always spot on with that. American League East. It was last year was a real feel good story for the Baltimore Orioles right up until the playoffs started. And then it was literally feel nothing story for the Orioles. I love that ballpark. I love the bird hat. There's a lot of stuff I like about the city of Baltimore, but you know, only within like a 2-block radius of where Camden Yards is. But you know, there's a bar called Pickles that's right across the street. So you know, fantastic! I love me some pickles.
Does Pickles sound like a gay bar to anybody else?
Yes. Oh, let's just don't ask how they serve the beer to you through what they call a beer hole. I don't know quite what that means. But I don't feel it this year for the O's and
sophomore jinx.
Yeah, and I always want to pick somebody other than the Yankees, and I always do, and some years it pans out. I think that the Blue Jays are the fetch of Major League Baseball. I keep trying to make the Blue Jays happen, and I feel good about the Blue Jays again, even though some people in that city thought they were going to sign Ohtani, which was crazy that they really thought that he wants to be paid in Monopoly money, and there's no gambling there. So, you know, let's realize that was never going to happen.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah. But what do you think, Flobo, about the American League East? It doesn't have your sleeper pick in it, so.
I know. Last year, I had picked the Blue Jays, and it definitely fetch was not a thing. But I do have the Yankees winning this one. The O's do come back down to earth. Especially when talking about earth, the Rays are going to pretty much continue the end of their season last season. So I think by default, almost, the AL East, even though it's a strong division, I have to go with the pinstripes. Stroman, Soto, can't lose.
I mean, Stroman, you absolutely can lose.
Yeah, 100%.
Stroman, you can have a 500 record, but
he's why we picked the Cubs.
Fair.
Right, exactly. That's a great point. Look, I think we can all agree the Red Sox are going to suck again this year, and there's something that's baseball being the way it should be. The Red Sox are supposed to be terrible.
It's not official until Dave says they're going to suck only the way he can.
There
it is. Hey.
Is that what you feel, Mr. Weiss?
Red Sox suck.
Yes. And, Johan Pena says, what's up, Sox everybody? What's suck. Up?
Hey.
The Sox suck.
The Red Sox.
Yeah, the Red Sox are a pasty, freckled girl in the mid-afternoon sun in the bleachers having pitcher after pitcher of Sam Summerale. Oh, so they're just attractive. A mess, and you don't want to be anywhere near them, much less look at them.
I'm down on the Yankees. I think that every year it's a lot of hype. I think Boone is not a great manager.
I agree
and
with you,
I have a here's a prediction: Boone out, Mattingly in.
I mean, I've been expecting that for a long time. I just feel like every time Mattingly goes somewhere else, it becomes less and less likely.
I never said it was a smart move. I just said it was a move.
Yeah,
I can't fire a legend.
Flobo's answering a question in the chat. I have a question: are there any rule changes this year? And it's basically the obstruction rule for fielders can't block the path of the slide. And,
terrible.
Ridiculous. I've had enough of these rule changes. I think that the pitch clock is fine for younger pitchers, but I think that you're having sort of your, you know, older slash for baseball. Middle age, like the almost older pitchers that are having to pitch too fast. And I think that we're seeing some minor injuries, but you know, a guy like Scherzer, the pitch clock, you just have to glance at the difference, you know? I agree with that. So Mr. Brody, are you picking the Yankees for this division?
Well, as far as the Orioles go, they're about to add Jackson Holliday, who's the number one prospect in baseball.
Didn't they send him down?
Yeah, but they're gonna screw with his contract. You know, they'll bring him up after 20.
The Buster Posey method of you bring them up right after Memorial Day so that you get an extra year. That makes
sense. And they did that with Chris Bryant. You know that move.
Yeah.
So I think they have like five guys in the top 20 prospects in baseball. So and they just added Corbin Burns. I'm feeling much better about them than last year when they. We're just a Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are loaded if Dominguez comes back healthy. But right now, LeMahieu's out. I don't know what Gerrit Cole is, when he's coming back, or how he is when he comes back. And if Gerrit Cole doesn't come back, Gerrit Cole, they have no shot.
Yeah.
I'm not banking on Nestor Cortes as my ace. And the rest of the rotation is fine. But without Gerrit Cole, you're not winning.
No. But so you know, the best thing about when Nestor Cortes takes the mound is hearing Susan Waldman on the radio, Nestor Cortes. At least we get to
imagine
this most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in the owner's box. Roger Clemens is coming back.
If Nestor Cortes ever went up to George Steinbrenner's box, it'd be pandemonium. Cortes is in George Steinbrenner's box.
I've never seen her so or felt her so excited before. I felt she's like, was the opposite.
That was the one time.
She is reason enough for me to be a Mets fan.
I forget whether or not I've mentioned this before, but there was one time where the great but troubled comedian Artie Lang was filming something at Yankee Stadium on the field, and one of the players asked him on camera, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I want a Susan Waldman lookalike contest. And the Yankees were not too happy with that. But, I don't know that it made the piece that he did, so I don't think I can find it. I'll see if I can find it for the playoffs.
John Sterling look good. I'm going with the Blue Jays. Because I don't know what Yankee team is going to be on the field.
That's fair.
But I would not be surprised if the Orioles were a shocking surprise team this year. So I'm going Jays, Orioles, Yankees.
Wow. Jays, Orioles, the Yankees. I like it. All right. And, Rays, I agree. The magic is.
We say that all the time.
Yeah. But
is the child molester back on the team, though?
No. I mean, who? No.
Alleged.
He sucks.
Speaking of off the field behavior, let's talk about the American League West. Did you guys see the video of Aroldis Chapman laying on the couch with his mom?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on in that household? The Rangers was kind of a nice story. They ran out of gas a little bit at the end of the season. And I love that the Astros immediately started celebrating the demise of the Rangers. That's the feel good story from last year, was that then the Rangers went on to win the World Series. But they'll have Jacob DeGrom back this year, right? Flobo's windscreen doesn't believe that for a second.
I believe he'll be back. You didn't say for how long.
Right.
Yeah, he'll get a couple starts in. Yeah, he'll get a couple starts in. In like August. Does anybody feel like that's the team again this year in that division? It's like you always kind of have the default, really not the Central, but it's always like, oh yeah, but the Astros are kind of like always like loaded for bear. I'll ask you first, Mr. Weiss, what do you think?
Rastros.
Okay. Do you think that the Rangers are going to suck, or where are you at with that?
They're not going to suck. They'll make the playoffs. The Royals suck.
But the Royals like suck. Yeah.
We need a they suck soundbite that we've just
right. made. Yeah, I know. I'll try to remember to get us that for the off season, for the postseason. Yeah. Oh, so you're feeling Houston. Any of those other teams look good to you? You know, the Mariners keep getting close, but they're proverbial no cigar.
Interchangeably mediocre.
Okay.
Really? The Oakland A's are interchangeable in Seattle?
In my opinion, yeah.
Wow, that is a hot take.
That is definitely a hot take. One year we're going to have that year where the A's win like 30 games, you know, and we're not there yet. But look, because I referenced it, I figure it's probably the least that I can do before we move on with our serious hard-hitting baseball analysis. I always think that we should take the time to do something incredibly goofy, and let's go ahead and Take a look. Si, si, no. I've rolled his Chapman on the couch with his mom.
That's his mama?
That's his mom.
He's rubbing her boobs.
He's squeezing him. And then he's on the couch with his mom. He's squeezing him. And then his hand kind of rubs on her belly. And she's patting his back the whole time. That's his mom. And
is he looking to go back to his first restaurant? What's he doing there?
I don't know. It's one of those. I'm like, how does that video get filmed? How do I see it? How am I able to share it on the black?
How did the cameraman hold the camera so straight?
He must have had it on a tripod.
Yeah, because there's no way he could hold it that straight with one hand. Anyway, David Brody, I want to ask you what you think about the American League West.
Well, first of all, just going back to the Tampa Bay Rays conversation, at least his mom's of age. So he's got,
got that. That's still illegal there, Brody.
At least he's going after an older woman.
It's
so
still illegal.
Pod Princess cannot believe what she's seeing there. And that's why I had to share it. Yeah.
Right.
I like the way Pod Princess is off to the side where half her face is not in the shot. That's well played.
Well played.
I love that. Yeah. By the way,
look at my dishwasher.
It's nice.
Yeah. Well, she looks like she's ready to give the rebuttal to the State of the Union address.
Yes. Flobo, that's hilarious.
Is Pop Princess somebody that you know? Is she? She's a Flobito. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She's a fan of new content every day.
I'm good at it.
The State of the Union reference was great. Major League Baseball, we see you. We hear you.
No, man.
We feel you.
And yeah.
What was the question?
We'll tell a story about about Aroldis Chapman's mom that she told at the border on our next episode. So, what are you thinking? Is it the Astros? Are we picking the easy, or do you see anything else?
No, it's the Astros. Listen, if you had a healthy Scherzer and healthy DeGrom, I'd pick the Rangers. But when your pitching rotation is based on those two old creaky bastards,
those two old hags.
Yeah, I mean brittle.
It was with an H, by the way, David Weiss. I know you're laughing. I said old hags. Okay, let's not laugh so hard.
Oops.
Suck. Anyway, go ahead, Mr. Brody. Sorry. Yeah.
Gad, tell him he sucks, David.
No. Sucks. Chapman sucks. I mean, Chapman does suck. By the way,
that's in the next video. By the way, that's the sequel video you can get. Look for it. Google.
The one
Chapman
you have
sucks.
To Google on. What's the one you Google on Pornhub?
He dumb lucked his way into getting another ring with the Astros last year. He wasn't their closer, and that was for a reason. And Flobo, have you told us your thoughts on the American League West? That's not your sleeper pick.
No, I got the Rangers winning this one. And the big question mark is not so much the pitching on the Texas side. It's the management style of Joe Espada on the Astros side. He was always a bridesmaid when it came down to those managerial interviews. I think he interviewed to be a Mets manager like two different times. And I always wondered why people passed on him. I do think there's some kind of growing pains built in, even though the Astros, if they win, won't be a surprise. I have Texas here.
I'm interested in sort of seeing how that develops. It's a more interesting story to me. I'm tired of the Astros. I'll stick with the Rangers. I'm Team Flobo. Flobo, I'm going to pass it right back to you, though, as we talk about the American League Central. Right. Tell us about your KC Royals.
Okay, so the KC Royals are not going to win the division. So I'm going to put that out there. Okay. Do you think they're going to go on the Diamondbacks run, the Phillies run? The NL Central is bad. AL Central is even worse. I have not seen a division so flaccid in years, which makes a really good division to watch. It may be really who sucks the least. The Twins are pretty much the class of that division. I do think they win it, but not by a lot like they did last year. I think they won by eight games last season. I do think that the Royals are ascendant. They go in as a second place in that division. So I have the Twins. I have Carlos Guerrero, but I do think they get knocked out pretty quickly.
And the Twins, another team that just absolutely fell on their face in the playoffs. I love the Twin Cities. I've never been to Target Field, but I had a soft spot for the old Metrodome. I saw Johan Santana pitch for the Twins there. That was fun. Yeah, he was good back then. I love that city. I know enough Twins fans that I would like to see them have another good year. I don't see what you're seeing with the Royals, but I love those kind of stories. and there'll be somebody. So why not the Royals?
What? Hunter Renfroe, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, remember him? Bobby Witt Jr.?
Hunter Renfroe was that was like the attaché for Count Dracula, right? His name was Renfroe.
Yeah, Renfroe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's who that was.
He's also undead.
Yeah. I know, Weiss. Jesus. Larry Miller, the joke deprogrammer. We get it. All right. Anyway, yeah, that's why I try not to make Star Trek jokes, because you'll correct me. But
yeah.
What do you think, Mr. Weiss? Who sucks in the AL Central? All of them?
Yeah, they all suck.
I mean, all five of them, kind of. Yeah, I mean, the Guardians. Yeah.
I mean, the Twins suck the least of all those teams. But, name a Twins pitcher. You know, it's...
Bert Blyleven. You mean current? Well, you mean current. Oh, yes. No, I don't have... Okay, I don't have that. I mean,
Kenta Maeda wasn't good enough for them. So...
Oh, man, I didn't know we were going to have the Kenta Maeda slander here on the show. I think that, I have a soft spot for the Twins. I would like to get to that ballpark. I would like to get to that ballpark in June or July. I don't want to go in April. The fact that they didn't put a roof on it is asinine. But both New York ballparks were supposed to have roofs as well. So
I'm not a big fan of the roofs anywhere.
But you've never been to Seattle. That's one of my favorite ballparks. I only went for the first time this past season. Yeah. And roof open, roof close is fairly quick. Not like the old Sky Dome where it's like, it takes 19 minutes to close the roof at Sky Dome. And I guess it's called the Rogers Center now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, Pop Princess. Minnesota is not a place, unless you're going to play all road games in April, or maybe all day games in road games. I agree, you should not. What do you think, Mr. Brody, about our final division before we glance at the playoffs? Who do you think is your favorite in the American League Central?
White Sox.
Oh, you're on mute, sir. So you just have to click that.
You muted him because you were talking to somebody before.
Did I mute him? No.
No, he was talking to somebody before.
He has to unmute himself. You have to click off the microphone.
It's Control D. Control D on your keyboard.
Yeah, it's the next to your picture. There's the microphone picture.
He's back.
I didn't click that. All of a sudden the sound went off. That's why I was fidgeting.
Well, that's all right. So what do you think about the AL Central?
Well, I had been to a game in Minnesota at the old Homodome.
Yeah. Where you
go in and go downstairs to your seats.
Yeah, I love that.
What a dump. That was we were inside a garbage bag. They called it the hefty bag.
I assume you went to Olympic Stadium at some point?
No, I was at I was at Sky Dome.
Yeah,
when it was Sky Dome,
it was a fucking shithole. It sucks.
Say what you feel, man. Don't beat around the bush.
But the food at Olympic Stadium was amazing. I still remember. I went in 2002, and I went to Monsieur Smoked Meat for a smoked meat sandwich.
Now that sounds like a gay bar.
Well, I found that out when I asked for the Monsieur Smoked Meat. And then I was asked to go behind the counter. But again, that's not the story for today.
That story.
Devin only has a half hour for this nonsense. Because I feel like he wouldn't put up with this kind of talk. Anyway, so you're not feeling the Twins this year, Brody?
No, I'm still feeling the Twins. I'm feeling the Tigers for second place. Okay. I'm not feeling the Royals for second. I'm sorry, Flobo. Part of it is I don't think the team is great, but part of it is 2015 haunts me. So fuck the Royals.
Very true.
Okay.
As my friend David Weiss would say, they suck.
That is a very noble answer. I get it.
I was at two of those games at Citi Field, the two that the Mets lost. And
yeah, same.
I didn't see the Royals win, but I was there. I was in the vicinity, but I didn't actually watch what was going on.
I made a huge mistake. If you watch the footage of any of the games of the World Series at Citi Field, my broadcast partner, my co-host partner, and I, Skiri, was sitting directly behind home plate for every game. I'm not going to tell you how we did that, but so we're behind home plate. So we're there.
But Monsieur Smoked Meat was involved.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You got to smoke whatever meat you have to get behind home plate for a World Series.
That's what I hear.
So we were there when Harvey came back in the game, right? Well, when it was obvious they were going to lose, the last game of the World Series. We left. We didn't want to be there when they lost. Whoa. But in retrospect, had we stayed there, we would be on the highlight clip in Kansas City forever when they won the World Series. So we kick ourselves that we should, because now when they show it, when the game ends, we're not there.
Yeah,
and we could have been in that clip forever.
You could have had Brooklyn Boys merch.
We could have been given the finger with like pointing to the like this. Like we could have done it. Could have pulled our pants down.
You could have pulled out your Monsieur smoked meat.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm glad we've I've found the title for this episode just in the last couple
smoked
of minutes.
Meat.
Monsieur smoked meat.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So people like the Twins. Flobo and I like the Rangers. You guys like the Astros. Flobo and I are feeling the Blue Jays, and you guys feel the Yankees. So that
I went Blue Jays.
I went Yankees. Oh, you did go Blue Jays. Okay, so all right. Sorry, you guys.
Blue Jays
you guys
Yankees.
You guys look the same. I mix you up.
Yeah, a lot of that. These Brooklyn boys, I swear.
Street baby culture, part of the culture.
For the culture,
For the culture.
It'll be interesting to see of these American League teams. Who do you think is the most likely to end up in the national? Sorry, 0% chance. The American League Championship Series. Who's going to end up in the ALCS? We don't have to worry about the earlier rounds. It's too far off. So you feel like Royals and Blue Jays? Is that what you're feeling, Flobo?
You know what? I was on. Yeah, I'll give it that. Sure. No. Okay. The Royals, the Yankees. I'm saying.
The Royals, Yankees. All right. Yeah. I'm gonna go. Rangers, Blue Jays. Just for fun, just for small market, just for ratings disaster. What do you think, Mr. Weiss? Our ALCS.
I am thinking Houston.
Okay.
And Toronto.
Okay. All right. Sure. So everybody's gonna have to exchange their money to buy Labatt's Blue with the higher alcohol content. And what do you think, Mr. Brody?
Well, it's the smoked meat thing. The smoked meat that's getting me for, I'm going for a healthy DeGrom at the end of the year, and I'm thinking Texas Blue Jays, Rangers Blue Jays.
Okay. And who do you think is victorious out? Well, that's the same matchup I picked. Yeah. Who do you pick, David Brody, Rangers or Blue Jays?
Blue Jays, unless DeGrom and Scherzer are healthy. So
okay. Yeah.
It's a toss up. I got to go Blue Jays now until I know where DeGrom is.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I think that's fair. And I will ask the same question of Mr. Weiss. Of your ALCS teams.
I have the Astros. I don't think DeGrom makes a difference. I don't think Scherzer makes a difference. I think Scherzer is washed. DeGrom may come back in August. But how long? I mean, how can he go 5 innings? Maybe. Do you bring him out of the bullpen? Maybe. You know, it's his second Tommy John surgery. He's 35, he'll be 36. You know, time marches on.
Yeah, and I think that's valid. So
that's valid. I'm changing my answer to the Royals.
Everybody's taking the Royals. And by the way, because we talked so much about it, this is indeed a look at Monsieur Smoked Meat, the sandwich that used to be available at Olympic Stadium. I think they still have monster truck shows and stuff there. So maybe it's actually still available there. But
looks like a very small sandwich. No pickles are that big, I think, ladies.
That's pretty thick.
I think that's absolutely
that is thick meat.
And Pop Princess says, "Dear man, Tommy John." We appreciate that. Yes, and this will probably be the still for the audio version of the podcast. The four of us in little windows. With that. So, all right. Well, let's
wait. Hold on. Who'd you have beating? Who do they have the Rangers beating?
I didn't have the Rangers. I had Houston, beating Toronto.
Beating Toronto. Okay.
So, Houston going on to the World Series. And Mr. Weiss, let's talk about our NLCS. I've got Phillies Dodgers because I'm lazy. What do you have, Weiss?
I have Braves Dodgers.
That's same thinking, really. Yeah.
You know, but if Ohtani is suspended for the season, I don't have the Dodgers.
Who do you have? Cubs?
Go
Cubs. Yeah. Go Cubs, go.
Go Cubs, go. Yeah.
Now that is living large.
Living large.
Flobito, what do you have in the NLCS? What two teams do you have there?
It's always got to be one division. One league is super fancy and one's kind of by the book. So I have the Royals on the ALCS side. So this is going to be a very standard Dodgers beating the Phillies NLCS. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I also have the Dodgers beating the Phillies. So, and Mr. Brody.
I have the Dodgers beating the Braves.
Okay.
But if the two Japanese players are derailed in any way, I think it could be a Braves Phillies situation. Ooh, there is a scenario where that works out. So I'm going to begrudgingly say Dodgers Braves with the Dodgers winning.
Okay.
As much as I hate to say that, their team is. When you have Mookie Betts at second base now,
yeah.
I mean,
they're short.
They have like four shortstops. Yeah. And Mookie Betts he was playing second base and now he's playing short. And you have like everybody playing out of position. And so Brody, do you have the Dodgers winning the World Series or do you have your American League team?
Well, it's the easy pick to say the Dodgers won't win again.
Yeah.
But I think when you add Yamamoto and Ohtani, if they stay on the team to the team they had last year and they get Walker Buehler back and he's somewhat healthy, I have to go Dodgers.
That's where I'm at. Where are you at, Mr. Weiss, for a World Series winner?
I am at Houston and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Houston takes it again.
Yeah.
I really think that they're a dynasty. They've got Yordan Alvarez and Altuve and Bregman, and they have players, and they play tough. You know, the only
thing Craig Biggio and Lance Berkman. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Joaquin Andujar.
J.R. Richard.
Nolan Jose Ryan Cruz, coming out of the bullpen.
Jimmy the Toy Cannon win.
If only they had Choo-Choo style. Coleman.
Nice.
Terry
Poole.
Flobo, do you have your winner? Did you give that to us already? Sorry, I'm all.
No, I have. If Yamamoto can not throw as many home runs as Lance Lynn, I have Dodgers over the Royals, which should be easy enough. I don't think Royals are on the way.
Pop Princess, you're a delight, but now that I see that you're a Braves fan, I can't put any more of your comments on the screen.
Absolutely fair.
I don't even like her dishwasher anymore.
No, exactly. It was great.
I do like the dishwasher, though. No,
got a Braves magnet on it.
Appreciate you being there,
Pop
Princess. So, again, I speak directly to Daniel Beck about the fact that we all, I think, picked the Dodgers to win the World Series. Oh, no, you said, Weiss, you said the Strohs. But before we go, there's a couple of quick things that I think I need to share. A fun baseball group that I'm in on Facebook, which I think Flobo, you're in the LA Underground baseball group. Someone posted this, and it always makes me laugh. We joke around, and the memes are funny, but we really don't know the facts, and it's unfair to judge Ohtani when he could be the victim, as there's a deep drive to left field by Castellanos, and that'll be a home run, and so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Oh, a man of faith? And
I was very excited to share that. And then in the last 24 hours, I found something even better, and this is the Portland Pickles. We were talking about pickles earlier. It's actually what reminded me I wanted to show this. So they opened a bar, and the Portland Pickles, the steps leading up to their bar are, I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. Each one of these is on a step. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a deep drive into left field by Castellanos, it'll be a home run. That's a 4-0 ball game. I want to go to the Portland Pickles just to take a picture on those steps. I want to do this show from those steps.
One of the best on-air self-immolations ever.
Oh my gosh!
And that was like the second one, right? The other one too. Someone passing away while Cassiano's hit a home
run. The show that I do on the Who Are These Podcasts YouTube channel, the Who Are These Broadcasters, we did a collection. It was during the playoffs. We did a collection of all the Cassiano's home runs at inopportune moments, and I'm convinced that Tom McCarthy and John Kruk, the TV announcers for the Phillies, they started like talking about, oh yeah, well, you know, we have to honor our 100-year-old veteran who passed away. They would start doing it when Cassianos was like up second in the inning. And I was like, all right, now you're just trying to make yourself go viral. But I tip my hat to them, which as a way announcers go, I do enjoy Tom McCarthy and John Kruk when I'm watching a Phillies broadcast. In any case, that is our look at the season right now. We're always spot on, and now you don't even have to watch any games this season because we've nailed all of them. Mr. Weiss and I will be having our traditional opening day feast at my palatial estates at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday. And there'll be meat on the grill. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @ChristianDMZ. So I will show you my smoked meat. Monsieur smoked meat.
The wife approve of this or no?
She's got a meeting. Here's where we're at, by the way. She's got a meeting that's in person, and she has to drive out of the valley and meet with someone in person.
How does she live? How does she manage?
I don't know. The world should live in small rectangles.
This is like on the Jetsons when the Futuraca cycle broke, and Jane had to use a new Futuraca cycle, an old model that had to push two buttons to make dinner.
How do you manage? On X, you're at D Weiss Comedy, and unless I'm mistaken, on Insta, you're at D Weiss Picks. PIX.
No, I changed it. Oh, I'm D Weiss Comedy everywhere.
Yes, yes. That's the branding. That's what you got to do.
That's right.
All right, and Flobo
branding lessons.
Flobito, yeah. We talk about how you generate new content every day. Where can people find that new content?
Well, if you're on that X or Instagram, I'm over there at Flobo Boys, also at Flobito on Instagram, but Flobito.com is where everything comes together. And just because you guys are part of the inner circle, I'm going back into the whole blogging thing, sports and comedy. It's called justthesandwich.com. Check that out when you have a chance.
Is the sandwich a monsieur smoked meat?
It is now. So come visit me at justthesandwich.com. Hold the men, just the smoked meat.
David Brody, not only can you be found from an episode that we did earlier over on the Geekscape channel where we talked about X-Men 97 episodes 1 and 2, not only will you also be on my show on the Geekscape channel on Friday where we talk to actor Joseph Culp, yes, son of Robert Culp, who played Dr. Doom in the 1994 Roger Corman Fantastic Four classic. Brody, you and I are going to be sick of each other by Friday.
It sucked.
But it's already happened. That's great. Yeah. But I'm sure Weiss and I'll be texting you during opening day.
Yes.
You know, we'll start a group thread. I think we'll leave Devin off of it. I don't think he wants us in his life more than twice a year for 30 minutes at a time.
I may be at opening day. So please feel free to text me.
I went to opening day at Shea once. It was 2002. Al Leiter was the opening day pitcher. And that was the year where Burnitz came back and we had Mo Vaughn for, you know, basically that game. And then I went in 2015 in DC, the Mets opened at Nationals Park. I have not been to a lot of opening days. Have you been to many, Brody?
I went to every opening day from 83 to 2019, except when I got married, and then we came home from the honeymoon and went to Jackie Robinson Day, where they retired the 42 to everybody on April 15th, because we were in Switzerland on opening day. Went every day since 83 was when Seaver returned, and then it became a thing, and then the pandemic hit, and then I missed two opening days, but I go opening day every year. That being said, your intro was fantastic. However, I'm not a musician, so you may need to update that.
No, that's not true. You did those Mets songs.
I am a producer of music, a writer of music.
Ja Rule duets 1 through 6 disagree.
Hold on. Just to clarify,
You're basically Pharrell for Mets.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I did play the cello for a couple of years in junior high school. Okay. Now, as far as Ja Rule duets, there is no Ja Rule duets one. I can explain why if anyone cares. But you can find me on all social media except Truth Social at David Brody. The Christian News Network guy, David Brody, is the guy on Truth Social. And, for other reasons, I'm not on Truth Social. But everywhere else, consistency at David Brody with a Y. You can find me on the Brooklyn Boys podcast. And in April, if you guys collect wacky packages from Tops, there is a new set coming out. I write for them. And I've got two stickers in the new set. Popcorners. That's a spoof on Popcorners where it's all caskets. And I took the movie The Ring and made it The Ringdings. And so you can check that out and all the puns related to that. So I've been doing that on and off for a couple of years now. Two new stickers coming out for wacky packages.
There you go. I could go for some Drake's Cakes right now, which don't make it out here to the West Coast.
How do you live on the West Coast without
yodels?
That's
a very Jersey thing.
Yodels.
I know where I can get Tasty Cakes at Philly's Best.
Shit.
That's all I can get.
Drake's over Tasty Cakes.
Dave Weiss. Yeah. What do you think of Tasty Cakes?
Yeah.
He teed it up for you.
Supposed to say that they suck.
You amateur.
Let's put it this way: whenever we go to Philly's Best, I always get one. He doesn't.
Reeled you in.
That's like if George Burns said, "Say goodnight, Gracie," and she went, "Good night."
Yeah, peace. There, just okay.
if George Burns said, "Say goodnight, Gracie," and she said, "Oh my God, you're still alive." Yeah. One more time, thank you to our friend Devin Gordon. The author of the great book, So Many Ways to Lose, The Amazing True Story of the New York Mets, the best, worst team in sports. I do recommend you the three of you read that book. It's very painful at times. I told Devin the first time I talked to him, I was up late trying to finish the book, and it was like 2 a.m. and I was reading the chapter on 2006, and then I couldn't go to sleep because I was so upset. So you got to be more careful. In any case, that is all the time we have for now. We will see you next time on the Blattcast, a.k.a. the Mysterious Smoked Meat Cast.
Thank you for listening to The Blattcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Blattcast. That's BLADTCAST. You can also subscribe to the audio version wherever podcasts are found. I'm Varad Muhammad, and if you want me to voice your podcast intro, you can find me at Twitter and Instagram at FARDMUHAMMAD. We will see you next time on The Blattcast.
Welcome to the party, pal.
The whole joke was it's $75.
That's right.
Like, I'm sure people think you don't have it, but I honestly think you have $75 to your name, John.
But it wasn't even my joke. Christian Blatt said that on my show. Christian Blatt's right. Never funny. He said that one thing, and John could not let it go.
I like Christian, but you are
I
right.
I love Christian.
And,
you should go with my boy, Christian Blatt. You know Christian?
I don't think I know Christian Blatt.
You don't know Christian Blatt? He's also like a Dabbleverse guy, so I thought maybe you guys would know each other.
He hates my podcast because I haven't seen him around. He doesn't like this guy. This guy, he's like...
Wait a second. I thought you said you didn't know him, Ray.
No, I don't know him. So I'm saying he probably doesn't like me if he's not around here.
Sir, how do you feel about doing a show co-hosted by Christian Blatt? Yeah. Who are these marketers coming soon?
I don't know who Christian Blatt is, but I'm down.
And yes, Blattcast, everyone check out Carter's special on Ed the Sock. Blattcast Tubox says, can we send her to Canoga Park to go get a cat? That's not a bad idea.
The Blattcast, thanks to the fiber. John, with all of the fence mending this weekend, will you be watching the Who Are These Broadcasters halftime show on the WATP YouTube channel now?
All right, Christian, everybody else at Blattcast. I don't know what that is.
Naughty.
Doc Jones, 73, $5, says, I, Christian Blatt, love, oops, wrong show. Yes, that is the wrong show, sir. But thank you for reminding me. What we're going to do on this channel, on the Who Are These Podcast YouTube channel, is Who Are These Broadcasters is doing their own special halftime show. They're going to have, obviously, Eric Zane and Christian Blatt, but also be joined by Cardiff Electric and Lucy Tightbox.
I like the idea that somewhere there's going to be people that are, you know, fans of Who Are These Broadcasters that are at a party where people don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, real quick, I'm going to put on Eric Zane and Christian Blatt. No, 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 you don't understand. Tukey and Lucy Tightbox are on. We've got to watch.
Yeah. Well, you know, one other person will be there being like, oh, Cardiff's on it. Yeah. Pop it on. All right, cool. Yeah.
Christian Blatt, I suspect, might be calling your mother, but not 100% from Who Are These Socials. I mean, he did tweet something on Mother's Day. He tweeted something about moms. So I'm assuming that's what he meant, you know, obviously. So, you know, I would start looking into Christian Blatt. Blatt it. I don't know. Nobody knows how to say it. Nobody knows. But anyway,
Blattcast.
The Blattcast and Who Are These Socials. Sorry, the Blattcast. Who Are These Broadcasts? Who Are These Broadcasts?
When Eric Zane and Christian Blatt are live on the same channel of Who Are These Broadcasts?
Broadcasts.
Not Who Are These Socials, as Cardiff said.
Or broadcasts. No, I said broadcasts.
Well, you also said
broadcasts.
Yes. Who Are These Broadcasters? Is on this channel every Tuesday.
The new Kiss era starts now. Oh, yeah.
It's the Eye of the Tiger, it's the thrill of the night, rising up to the challenge of arrival.
Hello, I'm Conrad Bain.
Christian, you're a talker. God, you're like the worst broadcaster ever.
Well, this has been the Blattcast. You can find me at ChristianDMZ.
You haven't heard Christian Blatt do it.
The Blattcast is 100% right.
The Blattfest, the Blattcast.
The Blattcast.
One of the best podcasts you can ever see, the Blattcast. Whoop-dee-doo, we're watching it. We got no Wi-Fi. We can't hear a thing, but we love it.
Go watch the Blattcast.
Good luck with the whole thing. And, you know, here's to another 500. Gets you to 1,000, you know, which is more than 500 last time I checked.
Totally forgot. I am doing the Blattcast tomorrow.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
We're closed.
That was not my fault.
Tukey loves you all more than a friend.
I love Tukey.
Yay! Hacka, hacka!
I'm so excited!
Try anything you cancel, bro.
What are bells?
We'll see you next time on KissOnline.com and the Blattcast.
Nothing the hood comes to do, no good.